Okay, can we start?
Yes, we're running slightly behind schedule, so let's jump in.
Okay, well, in the afternoon, thanks for everyone to coming back. Just 65 minutes late, so which is good. We should be able to make it. If we can, we're going to have actually four presentations in the afternoon. In the morning, we looked at the demand side and supply side. In the afternoon, we'll be talking about the applications and then issues that we're facing, mainly on software side and how we can code this and run them. So if these four presentations that we have, each one of them can stick on the 20 minutes that they have, we should be able to easily make it and have the enough time for the session 5, which is going to be discussion of next steps. Okay, so without any further ado.
Okay, thanks. You'll stop me when I run out of time. I'll try to do the best I can and show you some stuff because it's, anyway. What I would like to share with you is some ideas, directions we have been working on integration of demand and network simulation models, as well as a specific facet of travel time reliability. It's largely based on those two projects, and I would like to share the credit. It's not my personal achievement. It's a product of work of it's collective effort, and we'd primarily like to mention Hani Mamasani and his group, and Killian Chang is also here as part of this big team, but I'm standing here, so I will be answering your questions. There are two parts of this presentation. We will try to cover both. It's probably infeasible. So the first part is really general issues that relates to integration, specifically between activity-based models, dynamic traffic assignment. And I would like to point out certain important, at least in my view, issues of schedule consolidations and pre-sampling strategies. Something looks to me like an important technical aspect to really put all this in practice. And then we will talk about incorporation of travel time reliability. Basically, in this profession, there are four different approaches identified to quantify reliability and tackle it, and we will go over all of them if we have time and analyze all of them from the demand side and from the supply side as well. First of all, about integration. Our profession, for a long period of time before the invasion of micro-simulation models, had been fortunate to have demand models and static assignments mathematically framed in such a way that integration proved to be back then possible in the most, possible elegant way. And primarily because on the technical side, trip tables and level of service schemes, that's how those two models talk to each other, proved to be based exactly in the same format that was needed for those models. So the metric structure here was a salvation, and mathematically it was possible to describe an integrated model as basically a single construct, a single optimization model. When we try to do the same, having in mind micro-simulation, activity-based model, and micro-simulation, DTA in particular, then on the way from demand to supply, it's all obvious, because actually an activity-based model, the way it's framed right now, can produce exactly what the DTA model expects, a list of individual trips, actually with the necessary level of temporal and spatial resolution. And if we have time, we'll talk about some details, because it's not trivial, but technically possible. The problem occurs immediately on the way back around. Some people come with slides like this showing ABM and DTA connected, at the highest level of temporal spatial resolution, which mathematically I can't understand that. It looks to me like a nonsense. Maybe I'm missing something, but it's really impossible. And the problem is that on the way back, this DTA would create individual trajectories for the current list of trips. That's true. But that's not nearly what we want on the way back here. And different from the previous situation with the four-step models, where you would get exactly what you need, a full set of schemes. You cannot expect that DTA would produce a thing like that for you. So we have to find a way to generate level of service for the other potential trips, with destinations that have not been visited, you know, by those particular people and things like that. And this is actually methodologically an issue. One of the standard ways, if possible surrogate, is to replace this individual feedback with kind of level of service schemes, so some kind of mathematical object that basically generates those level of service variable, and this is always possible to do with DTA. DTA can produce level of service schemes, of course, by time of day, periods, whatever, but this way around, actually, it's not something that we would like to achieve because we break the individual level. So in this particular installation of the model system, this component, half of the model system, would actually function exactly with the same level of resolution as for a four-step model. So we're not making that much progress as we would like to have. One of the approaches that we consider to resolve those issues, to create a reasonable equilibration framework which would still preserve individual components rather than just aggregate schemes, is to introduce what we call a temporal equilibrium loop. And basically there is an intermediate step between the microsimulation activity-based model and dynamic traffic assignment which consolidates schedules. We call it temporal equilibrium because at this stage is this internal loop does not change anything. Destination sequences of trips for each individual, everything is fixed, but we allow to change temporal profiles. We allow to shift trips and activities in a certain way. So it has a certain behavioral appeal, but also mathematically, you really, in this particular case, can achieve individual level consistency of the schedules, because really what you feed back are individual trajectories of the people, and then you consolidate them in the schedule basically with activity duration. So if you fix other components and don't go up, actually there is a formulation behind that, and it becomes less empirical and more real as an equilibration framework. However, at some point of time, whatever you achieve nice equilibrium here, you have to go up and regenerate other things. And here are several tricks that we apply to still preserve. So the fight here is to really make all this at the individual level, to create a feedback individual and accumulate certain individual trajectories rather than operate with crude, average level of service schemes. And here the salvation is a strategy of sampling, which I'll show you in a minute. Let's talk about first internal equilibrium here and why is it important. Just everyone understands that. If you build schedules in this or the other way, there is a multitude of scheduling models and activity-based models, but eventually, this way or the other, we want to create a simple thing. An individual schedule for each individual. For a moment, let's forget about joint activities. It's just like they basically just complicates it a little bit, but think about a single individual without joint activities. It just basically, a daily schedule is a sequence of activities and trips, and we always have basically activities by location one more than the trips. So essentially what we want to produce, and that's a necessary attribute of a policy-sensitive model, is an individual schedule without gaps or overlaps. Want to understand, if this trip is longer than it was planned, it should have a certain impact before we evaluate everything. And impact might actually vary different. Maybe the person would start a little bit early. Maybe this person would change duration of this activity. This is something that has to be inherently modeled. And until we can reach this for each individual, we actually cannot really declare a victory at the individual level. We would be working with something different, which would be just a surrogate with some features of the aggregate models rather than disaggregate models. So It's pretty clear. So in reality, that's what happens. Everyone is subject to certain, real trips and activities. There's nothing else between trips and activities. And you are late, you are late. You are early, you are early. That's what we want to model. But if you don't do it at the individual level, in a lot of equilibration schemes, when you actually see what people do, they don't have that.
they have very good estimates of travel time. And people build individual schedules, but actually travel times are not individual. And eventually this model system does not converge to any solutions that we can adopt. So one of the things that we operate and actually proved to be pretty elegant, nice mathematical structure. The schedule adjustment, and this is just prototype, in a minute I'll show you, this is for simplicity. When people plan activities and trips and fill them, and then travel times prove to be different from what they expected, they reschedule. What is important to understand is that they basically this affects the entire schedule. Changing travel time for one trip is not a simple thing, because a simplified assumption that, okay, next people would move, you know, departure time or would change. Actually, in reality, what happens if travel time proved to be 30 minutes instead of 20, it affects the entire schedule, and the actual behavior depends on the scheduling constraints. So there are a lot of things people can do in this situation. If the next activity is not fixed in schedule, people just can tolerate it and basically make it 10 minutes shorter. But if it's a very important activity like work with fixed hours, people would rather shift departure time. So all this embedded basically in the scheduling adjustment procedure, which means we would try to find a new schedule which accommodates changing new travel times, but will be as close as possible to the previous one. And this closeness is measured by the entropy function, which takes into account that people want to preserve durations, want to preserve departure times, and basically also arrival times as well. So it can be basically generalized to include all three components: preservation of duration, preservation of departure time, preservation of arrival time, and still keeping the whole schedule basically without gaps and overlaps. And there is a simple solution that can be found. This problem has a simple analytical solution in continuous. And it shows you how those schedules can be basically changed to support any equilibration at the individual level. We do have certain weights for schedule adjustment. Currently, just to show kind of a prototype, those weights actually can be extracted from the time of the choice model for an activity-based model. But for now, for experimentation, we just decided to fix this weights, not make them individual or segmented. Eventually, they will be segmented and dependent on individuals. Those weights basically show you what can be rescheduled. For example, very high weight for school activities means that school activity normally doesn't have any flexibility. So if we want to create a realistic schedule for arrival at school, then we cannot allow any change in the arrival time or in duration, so everything would go at the expense of departure time. So basically, you have to start early. If congestion grows, you're a university student, you have to start early. But there are many other activities, and basically, this creates kind of a map of how the schedule is going to be changed and adjusted in presence of different travel times versus the expectation. All this works actually doesn't take any toll in terms of computational time, but the beauty of this, at least in practical perspective with our experimentation, is that if you really apply dynamic traffic assignment really in reality to, and then you change your demand, very frequently you would run into impasse, especially for future scenarios, gridlocks, you know, unrealistic travel times, things like that. Or in reality, this simple analytically procedure between changing the entire demand and basically includes temporal equilibration and network route choice, it creates a nice buffer mathematically, because sometimes it's enough to shift trips a little bit. Start just 5 minutes early. It's the degree of freedom that is given to the simulation and actually to reach a feasible simulation solution. So before you go and change, regenerate the entire demand, it's important to let your network simulation model a chance to really evaluate this demand. And sometimes it's enough to shift it a little bit. And what we observe in reality, what we saw, small adjustments actually get all this settled in. And then when you go to the outer loop, you already have actually much more realistic travel times. This is especially important when you run all the things for future, where it's difficult to ensure that your demand at the very first global iteration for decay wouldn't be even feasible. And decay is different from, say, static equilibrium assignment. Static equilibrium assignment, you can start equilibration for future years in a very bad way with V over C is greater than 5. Okay, and eventually it would equilibrate, but DTA might just not work. It requires already on the very first iteration a certain early feedback. And before you go and change your destination and other things, actually, mathematically, it creates a nice realistic way of adjustment your demand along the temporal dimension. But the ultimate purpose of this is not just to get things working in practice, but also to ensure that what we create eventually is a feasible constrained schedule where travel times based on individual trajectories and durations of activities all talk to each other and not from basically taking from the different components of the model. Pre-sampling of trip destinations is another strategy that we have been experimenting recently a lot. One of the wild components of a travel demand model, activity-based model, ask this first question to Michael Ballner actually before. If you really regenerate your destination choice in a full at each iteration, there is practically no chance that daily patterns would be replicated. Because we're talking about models that work with a pretty fine level of spatial resolution. And we talked about maybe even parcels. Some models work at the parcel level. Models that we are working, they work at the level of microanalysis zones, around 30, 40,000 zones. But still a very big number. Imagine any choice, if you just repeat it, out of 40,000 alternatives, will never repeat itself. People would start doing different things. So the way to basically make it a little bit more manageable is that we have pre-sampling strategies. And pre-sampling creates for each. So pre-sampling means this individual will always be choosing out of certain substitute zones. Some people try to make it even more meaningful in a sense you can interpret those pre-samples as certain mental maps, which kind of appealing. In reality, I also believe when you decide where to shop, you don't think about 30,000 options. But I would not go that far with behavior. Here we see it more like an analytical way to handle the dimensionality. Now, what happens with this attractive part of this stuff is that it's a higher chance that individual trajectories will be accumulated for the same individual, and if not, to at least across individuals. And only in case if we still have to handle a destination that has never been visited in the previous simulations by this person or the other people, then we have to resort to this, basically all these schemes. You still need those synthetic ways to do it if you cannot find an actual individual trajectory implemented by this driver at one of the previous iterations. But at least it creates a better chance. And eventually, after multiple simulations and equilibration of the through the internal loop and external loop, you have enough trajectories from which you can to choose and actually make it individual rather than. So basically it means if I make my decision tomorrow, my expected travel time is not an abstract scheme. My expected travel time would be my previous trip that I made at the previous iteration to the same destination or made by somebody else. So it's a little bit of a behavioral appeal here, although I would not go that far with this technique. I would rather see it as a way to really realistically ensure that we can accumulate individual trajectories rather than all these schemes. There are several refinements that we have to do with the activity-based model before we even integrate it with a dynamic traffic assignment. For example, we have to restructure mode choice slightly to really know who is the driver, who is the passenger, rather than operate with SUV, HUV. There's kind of a missing thing, which in itself is an interesting model. Basically, we have to really form a travel party and assign a driver. And that might have a significant impact on your value of time, value of reliability. We have restructured trip departure time choice. Basically, it's not a problem to have it at the 5-minute resolution or even less, just to support the time, basically, resolution needed for DTA. And now I would like to talk about travel time reliability. This is a big kind of, additional complication. But we all understand behavioral appealing. We all understand that people make decisions and evaluate transportation alternatives and eventually build their daily schedules, they take into account, you know, buffer times and reliability, things like that. Reliability is quite an elusive thing, because intuitively everyone understands reliability means I make the same trip today and tomorrow, and travel time is not the same. But actually, variability of travel time, the way how you exactly measure it empirically and bring into the model is something that different people have very different opinions. We call reliability, basically, we distinguish it from the systematic variation of travel time. So seasonality, day of week, and even hour by hour is not something that we consider as unreliability. Unreliability is a really random, unpredictable variation on top of any systematic analysis. And that's something that happens because just days are different, might be special events, accidents, weather impacts. So there are reasons why all else being equal, with no reason if you drive the same road exactly the same hour, travel time is not the same, and might actually the difference might be pretty significant. There are four methods, analytical methods, how people try to bring reliability, quantify it in the first place, and bring it into travel demand models, from the simplest one to the most advanced one. And there are a lot of variations, but I would say those four are really kind of different, ways of schools of thoughts, okay? So one is very simple. We can incorporate reliability as a perceived highway time by congestion levels, which is very simple. And a lot of work has been done in this direction. And that can be put in practice just today, everywhere. As some MPOs already use things like that. The second one, which received a lot of attention recently, is what they call mean variance approach. Basically, say, unreliability is measured as a certain additional variable in addition to mean, like variance or buffer time or something. So basically, it's based on the time distribution. There is a third method, which is tricky one, and was pioneered by Ken Small, called schedule delay cost approach, or unreliability associated with being late or early. And then finally, the most advanced probably approach is manipulate temporal profiles for activity participation. And I would like just briefly show you the most important things associated with each of them. For example, for perceived travel time, there have been a lot of publications how we can really weight travel time, and you can apply that. Basically, it's just like you would slightly adjust your volume delay function or slightly weight it as part of your DTA travel time calculation, make it perceived. And basically, what it means that the rest of the model system would see weighted time rather than physical time. And what it means, what stands behind, for example, 1.8, means that every minute, not only it gets longer, it gets less reliable. So it's perceived worse. So, and then that's actually a very heavy penalty applied already on the time that is in itself congested. But this is less interesting because it's just a surrogate. Applying those weights, saying congested travel time is equal to 2 minutes of free flow time, things like that, they help in practice. But this is not really a real assessment of unreliability. The schedule delay approach of Ken Small, for example, is much more elaborate. It says that for each activity, if we could identify a preferred arrival time for this trip, there is a certain meaningful penalty function associated with being late or even early sometimes. And different activities, they have different profiles. There has been really an ocean of literature about estimation of those, especially in Europe. In Denmark and Sweden, in France. And there were a lot of kind of European countries leading in this direction and doing a lot of stated preference surveys showing that those functions really might be very strong and very individual and differential. In the schedule delay cost function, basically what you can see now, you have basically several additional components. Not only travel time comes into play as travel cost, but also expected delay or expected earliness. And they have those coefficients that basically we have very good idea how those coefficients look like in reality. There is a summary, it's part of one of our research. We have implemented a very extensive literature search. I have estimates basically done pretty good for different components, different methods, and I don't want to talk about this, but I would like to talk about the algorithmic implications. Now, in temporal utility profile theory, which is still in infancy, but probably the most appealing theoretically, we don't have penalties. We don't have weights or something on travel time. What we're really trying to do is to say that for each individual, there is a certain temporal profile, a utility. And now, if because of the lateness, the earliness, things shifted, this integral now is different. So basically, in this theory, any loss or gain of reliability, unreliability, associated with loss in activity participation, eventually. And certain profiles might look like you really lose a lot because you have to be at work at certain times. So utility becomes very low. Being at work, if you start at 7, being there at 6, it's a very low utility. But if actually you're later by an hour, then that's a big loss. So some other activities, they have profiles that may look like this. For example, this is a typical profile saying I would do shopping and I would like to do it after work. If I have to move it before work, it's all goes down very inconvenient for me to do. So basically, people who pursue these lines are trying to build those profiles and actually... In the process of modeling, your basically random travel time comes into play as restructuring of those integrals. Analytically, it's very complicated, but very promising. What is also interesting is that all those four methods are actually not different approach. Despite this fact, if you read the particular paper, it might look like a completely from a different world. Like Ken Small would talk about schedule delay, and you would see how does it relate to mean variance. But actually, it's not true. What some people have shown, specifically Mogens Fosgerau and Leonid Anderson in their work, they showed that actually you can see that all those methods can be derived as a particular case of the previous more general method under certain conditions. So basically, what we are doing here is not just trying for different empirical things, we actually are building a certain coherent theory which provides simpler methods or more complicated methods. But the nice thing for me as a mathematician, those methods are not just different. Those methods actually are particular cases. Simpler methods are particular cases of more complicated methods. For example, it has been proven in this paper of Verhoef, but it's a set of work, and then confirmed by Engelson in a more general framework, that if you have a temporal profile and you fix a sequence of activities, if you don't change the sequence of activities, you have temporal profile, then schedule delay penalties can be analytically derived as a difference between those curves, basically. So the schedule delays can be derived. It's, for example, so in this sense, if your activities, like in the models that I showed you before with the temporal equilibrium, there is no difference between those two methods because sequence is fixed. However, if you consider a more general travel model where activities can be canceled or resequenced, then you cannot really use schedule delays. You have to use temporal profile because this approach would handle a situation where you mix your activities, but not the other ones. Let me list a little bit one thing. A lot of progress has been done on the demand side. And those things actually, most of them, we do have an approach to include them in demand models. The really problem proved to be is to incorporate all this in a coherent parallel way on the supply side. And there are challenges, really challenges. And there are two challenges. The network model has to incorporate reliability in root choice. This is not a trivial issue. If I had a little bit more time, I would share with you just a classification of methods. There are about like 5 different approaches how we can do it. But each of them has certain implications. And not only it has to do this job, it also has to generate all the reliability measures, basically we call it reliability schemes, or reliability measures attached to individual trajectories and feed it back. This is a more difficult task than handle reliability on the demand side. There are 2 streams of research, how people tackle it. There's analytical stream, how would you do it in a single run? In a single run means single simulation run of the network. Or growing, basically, line of research is to do it through multiple runs approach. Basically, as a mathematician, I can say the following. If eventually you have to deal with a very complicated, essentially non-parametric phenomenon like unreliability of travel times, sometimes what you have to do literally to do it non-parametric. So basically you have several assignments and recreate a travel time distribution from them rather than trying to create a very complicated analytical framework that would handle, you know, integrals and things like that. And this is both lines of research have been addressed in our SHARP projects. How much time do I have? I just
well,
would.
You pretty much finished all the time that you had your job.
Okay, guys. So, I don't want to steal from Zazapri. I just like in a difficult.
Well, I have some questions for you.
Yeah,
you
sure.
How many more
slides you have? I have a lot, but I would like to list them. And basically.
Do you think you can wrap them up in, say, 7 minutes?
Okay. Then I would like to show you just if you like give me 7 minutes, yeah, that's a different strategy. And I would like to make.
Well, I know that Josh said that Josh and Nadim and Mike said that they won't need 20 minutes, so I'm sure you have something.
Okay, I'll try. So basically, single RIME framework means that we handle one demand scenario and one network simulation and travel time variation derived from a single equilibrium state implicitly. But the multi-RIME framework, essentially, you have might have several demand scenarios. You implement several network simulations. It's an essence of what Hani is doing right now. It's called scenario demand management. And travel demand variation basically arises explicitly rather than implicitly. One of the important things to understand is that there have been a lot of publications seemingly claiming that, well, we do have those reliability functions for network simulation. Not a problem, guys. There's massive, like hundreds of publications of traffic engineers, which I just want to explain that they are useless to us for one particular reason, because they all create functions like standard deviation, buffer time, whatever, at the link level. And the things are done. And maybe they are done for traffic operations, for what they want to explore. But we have a problem, modelers, because different from volume delay function or mean travel time, those measures are not additive. So you cannot really, even if you have a good function for each link, give you a standard deviation on each link. And I have a lot of, in our research, a lot of examples. To construct an entire route reliability measure, you cannot do it. It's a problem in itself because it's not additive and it's highly dependent on the correlation pattern. So there are basically two ways how you can handle this issue in a single run framework. Eventually, it boils down to two analytical ways. I don't see anything else. And we tried both very heavily. One of them is to use root level function. So instead of what they do, what traffic engineers provide, it's useless. But we build, and there's a lot of literature, and we have built our robust relationship at the OD level, which takes into account correlation across links, whatever. But basically, it means that the whole assignment procedure has to be path-based. Or we have developed scaling procedures, which can be applied in a link-based. But those scaling procedures take into account the fact that non-additive measures have to be scaled before you add them. And we have developed several scaling procedures based on distance, for example, showing the scaling parameter for the entire route, how you can recreate standard deviation for the route from standard deviation of links. And we have developed an algorithm which we call the self-calibration algorithm, which basically calculates an additional parameter as a ratio of the observed variation at the OD level to the sum by links. And this is built in the equilibration procedure. So you don't have to estimate or something. This is something that you extract from the equilibration process. And then you use the scaling for the next iteration possibly. I wish I had a little bit more time. But those tricks are really impossible. What I would like to, again, make this point, that the claims that the problem has been solved by traffic engineers are wrong. The inherent problem here is that recreation of the OD measure, like, for example, standard deviation, is not a trivial task because it's not additive, and correlations across links come into play very strongly. We have spent some time and some success, actually, Honeyven has a version of DynaSmart actually handling this can small incorporation of schedule delay cost. Actually, after some detailed analysis, we found that we can incorporate schedule delay cost in a travel demand model at constant, but not directly. You have to restructure your both your demand model and DTA in a certain way. One of those ways showing here is actually a pretty simple one. And it works in the following way. In the time of day choice, we have to produce what we call preferred arrival time and preferred departure time for each trip, which is possible with the demand model. Then, at the network simulation, what happens, since travel time is random, it results in a certain schedule delay cost, which actually is fed to the mode choices. But to do this, you have to do two things. You have to make your route choice basically either through multiple simulations or through some additional tricks to work with random travel times. And the time of day choice has to produce preferred departure time, preferred arrival time. Another way to do it is to make your route choice integrated with departure time as part of the DTA model, which is also a very attractive way, because actually it's more complicated, but maybe in a sense, from the perspective of the entire demand system, it's a more promising way to do. Then the time of day choice model, we would generate preferred arrival time and preferred departure time for each trip. And then preferred arrival time would be taken. So the DTA would not expect preferred departure time for each trip like now. It would take preferred arrival time and calculate departure time based on this arrival time. And the schedule delay cost would be taken into account in terms of how large is the buffer that you would like to take to hit this preferred arrival time. This actually, we have a special report. I can't really do it in 2 minutes, but it looks, at least one of those approach looks very promising to me. Basically, in the demand model, instead of generating departure time for DTA, we would generate arrival times. And we would let DTA define departure time based on the preferred arrival time and penalties. Actually, both schemes have been implemented. It works fine, at least at the level of small examples. So it's all implementable. Question, of course, we need more testing to recommend something in practice. We have a vision of the entire multi-rail framework, which I would talk to you next time. And we have certain new formulations of equilibrium assignment with random demand and reliability, which take use of some basically ideas. Here is to run this, instead of a single trip table, we generate a sequence of trip tables, normally 10 of them. And then in the procedure, we associate basically, since you have not a single demand, several demands, eventually you can explicitly have a variation of travel times that you can feed back to your average demand. One of the interesting things is the way how you can randomize your demand. If you have average demand, normally any travel demand model produces just average demand. To feed this process, you need not a single trip table. You need 10 or 20 of them, obeying certain random rules, because basically we have developed a method, just to see how we can do that, and supported it by empirical data. So basically today, we can really produce a set of trip tables. And then you can take advantage of this in this type of a procedure. And let me just go to the conclusions, and that's it. So we have a lot of work to do. And this is just a set of the bullets. There's still an open question how we can integrate macro simulation demand and network models, and we suggested the notion of temporal equilibrium and presampling as some technical ways to handle it. There are different methods to incorporate travel time reliability, and a lot of progress has been done on the demand side, but the network simulation model still a lot of work to do with this. We are exploring two different approaches, and it's getting more and more like separated, despite the fact there is still some interaction. The single run framework, analytical framework, and non-parametric multiple run framework, which frankly looks to me, especially on the practical side with, you know, multi-threading, multi-processing, this looks to me like the approach of the future. Eventually, you know, with those integrals and complicated analytical structures, trying to extract too much from a single run, that's possibly, I mean, doesn't look to me mathematically really and very attractive. This second direction, when eventually models of the future will look like models where, you know, different travel times are produced, not a single simulation run. Different travel times take into account the occurrence of certain things, and this, you know, variation of travel time will be taken to the demand and not a single run. It looks to me like probably the most promising direction. But of course, guys, I'm sharing with you really very hot, not complete yet research, so I'm not in a position to nail down anything. I would just like to share with you some ideas. I'm done. Thanks for your time, guys.
Thank you very much. Honestly, we don't have time for a question, but any clarifying question? Someone can. Yes.
I have clarifying questions about the reliability and going from link to a trick reliability. You say it's not additive?
Yeah, sure.
So if you have distributed normal distributed variable and you add them, basically the sum will be also normal distributed variable with sum of deviations and means, right?
If you have independently distributed normal variables,
right.
The sum would be normal, and the variance would be a sum of variables.
Right.
But even standard deviation doesn't hold, even in this particular case. Only sum. Now, this is kind of a thing that a lot of people try to hang on, saying it is maybe we can do it with a variance, and you can do it. But the problem is that it, even if it's additive only if distributions are independent.
They
are not at all independent because they sit on the same traffic flow.
Right.
So if you have traffic jam on one link, then next link also. So and dependence creates, so basically if you apply the strategy like some people already try, just take a normal, and as a matter of fact, it's in practice, those distribution looks rather log normal because they're truncated, travel time can be connected. But if you take normal and then draw and create a pass level at the 50, it would be, the real variation would be heavily suppressed because the assumption of independence heavily suppressed with standard. So you're right in what you're saying, but in practice we can't use this for those two reasons.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Actually, thank you for giving us all these ideas. Now we're going to have lots of things to talk about during the discussion.
You don't have this idea, I didn't try.
No, we're going to have lots of discussion, hopefully, in the last session.